The traffic was allowed to go through those areas for residents and emergency personnel. And again, I don't know that that was publicized, but I believe that that was the case.
I'm sorry, sir?
I said I don't know that that was publicized, but I believe that that was the case, that they did have those gates lifted to where people could transfer, could drive through there. So, but yeah, but in the future, we know. I didn't know that at first either. So,
what's that, sir?
That you could still go through, you could come out. That was it, Lakeview, Lakeside, Lake?
Lakeshore.
Okay, yeah.
Of course, you have to drive through Big Cedar property, right. But it made a additional access to 86 Highway if there's a problem on Devil's Pool Road,
right.
Where we couldn't get out or something like that.
And during the event, that was open.
And another big issue on the four-lane highway that I would, the residents of our community are really interested in is how are they going to address going from Devil's Pool Highway to 86. That is a major...
So it's currently an issue now, and I know Devin's worked with MoDOT and trying to come up with solutions and Great River Engineering and other engineering companies to come up with solutions with that.
Well, that's
even before...
When you put the four-lane highway there,
even before the two-lane.
Address us getting out? Because it's hard enough now for us to turn left on the 86 Highway the way it is right now. And if you add four-lane highway, are we going to have to go, like I said, towards the Long Creek Bridge and then turn around to go back?
Those are definitely all concerns that I'm sure the engineers will take into consideration whenever they make those decisions and make those plans.
And also MoDOT can be made aware of that.
I'm sorry, ma'am?
MoDOT can be made aware of that. No, MoDOT, all of your concerns, before they do something, they normally have a meeting, but they have an 800 number, which you can be given it. And
I think Devin's pretty well aware of the issue.
I'll say, yeah, Devin will be speaking with them directly.
Devil's Pool, so, I mean, that's pretty well public knowledge.
Yeah.
And that is the main thoroughfare that guests use to go down to Big Cedar back and forth. And they're also how they exit Big Cedar is through Devil's Pool Road, the yard. So that is a major concern to them also is how you get out of Devil's Pool Road onto the four lane there, because it involves their guests, the majority of their guests that come in and out, and their employees for that matter.
Right.
So, thank you, Mr. Cool. Thank you, Commissioners. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And again, yes, Devin is aware, and I'm sure he will. You communicate with state pretty often, do you not, with MoDOT?
Yes.
So those any of those concerns, if you don't want to directly go to MoDOT, go to Devin anytime and Road Bridge Department, and we'll make sure we carry those as well.
In regard to whoever asked the question about what it's paying for and so forth, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, at the end of the year, at an end of certain time, you have a filing that after, if it's approved, as said, and the taxes is collected, as it's broke out in all of this, is what it will be paying for in a broad term, but that you'll fill out a report to, and who do you answer to? Is it the department of...
To the state.
To the state, to a certain department there. You fill out a report and tell them how that money is spent. It will be public knowledge and broke out once a year, annually is the way I remember it. Is that right?
Correct, and it operates. It's the checks and balances are not just the state reporting, but the bond itself, because
yes.
Bonds are tax exempt, operates within very strict guidelines in terms of what qualified expenditures are, and that those expenditures have to be for the public benefit and improvements associated with public benefits. So there's a number of different checks and balances and reporting that takes place in order to ensure that happens.
That'll show the revenue and the expenses exactly how they went out public.
I think it was the gentleman who stepped out, but the question about the board, is there any interest in, so we appoint the board. You guys give us a recommendation of who you want on the board. Is that correct?
The property owner appoints the board based on the ownership, and that's how it's proposed in this petition. So we have appointed the initial board, and then two of those members will be replaced after 2 years, and that would allow us to get the majority of the construction hopefully completed that's associated with the bond.
Some are for 2 and some are for 4. Some are for 2 years, some are for 4 years.
But the first 2 board members will be replaced after 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So the initial board is put on by
the
owner?
The property owner, yeah.
And then the successor after that is done by the commissioner?
Well, then the board, then we could introduce, we can bring other people onto the board after the 2 year period if we elected to do that.
But that's appointed by the owner?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there's 2 4 years and 3 2 years.
3 come up. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did I misread that the commissioners appoint those people after the 2 years?
I believe it's after the 2 years is what I'm reading. But
that's what I'm reading, but what he said, the owner still gets to replace them after 2 years.
I believe the property owner appoints the board members, not the commissioner.
That's not the way it's written.
The way the petition and the order is set up is that the property owner makes recommendations for the appointment to the presiding commissioner, who must then take it to the full commission, who then makes the actual appointment. So it's a two-step process. The property owner makes the recommendation, the county commission makes the appointment. If the county commission doesn't agree, you send it back to the property owner for another slate of candidates.
After the 2 years?
Even now.
Part of the order that's before the commission, which we haven't gotten there yet, but it is set up to follow the way that state law says the property owners can appoint board members and the way the petition is set up. So all those things are set up to be consistent. State statute, the petition submitted by Big Cedar, and the order that I've drafted for the commission's consideration.
Sorry, dumb it down for me real quick.
Recommendations by the property owners only.
Even initially.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's in section 3 of the order.
Right. So, ma'am, to answer your question, I believe it's. Did you follow that?
Big Cedar makes the recommendation.
We make the actual appointment. If we don't like one of the, if we decide, hey,
then
we go back to them. They make another. Okay.
Got it.
Does the board appointments have to be made at the same time? Is it all made within the same order?
The initial ones are. They're staggered. There's 3 2-year terms and 2 4-year.
2 4-year terms.
But if the CID is established, is this the order it goes by?
Yes.
Then that's also approving those board members.
Yes.
But again, it only affects those individuals in that property, so it would make sense to. Okay. As far as the SID itself.
Are we ready to? Let's close the. Anyone else have anything to say? If not, we're going to close the public hearing. Move on down. Mr. Williams, did you see this? Is this a proposed motion here?
So we have in front of us an actual order.
Yes.
So we could approve or deny the order or take no action, I guess. It's kind of the choices of. In front of us. And I know we've already closed the public hearing, but does anybody have any other questions, comments, concerns before any motion is made?
I'm not positive that some of that doesn't include a little bit of land. I don't. That's why I wanted to look over the exhibits just from my quick look before I came here.
Did you get a chance to look over it?
I have not.
Is there a way to make a motion contingent upon it not infringing on any of his properties, or Do we feel like
there's also a petitioner review petition. He can petition to have it removed if it's in there at any time. So if you approve it, he can petition to remove it if he thinks that parcel ID is in there. We can come back and you can remove it.
Okay. So it's not a hard process.
When this was originally given to us, I took it to our mappers, and every parcel number that was pulled on it was checked to see that Johnny Morris or some of the organization were owners of it. And there was two or three lots that went around, but they were not included in this order.
That was my understanding. GR Great River initially did it, and they did it again.
Our mapping
MoDOT did it. We've had lots of engineers and surveyors look at it. So
it's been fully vetted.
I'd be surprised if his property was in it, but I've been wrong before.
There was two or three that went all around, but they were not included in it. I've got those upstairs, but I'm...
But there is a process to have parcels,
removed. And you guys would have obviously no problem at all with those being removed as long as...
No, because most of it, you know, most of the property in the CID isn't retail sales generating. It's just part of the CID. So the only thing that we're probably really worried about is where the sales tax is being generated.
It's actually being generated. Mr. Rupert,
are you okay, sir?
Yeah, was your concerns? Okay. But if you do, they said there's a way for that to actually be taken out.
There's a removal procedure in this section.
And they have no objection to it, and we won't have any problems taking it out, because the intent is for just properties owned by Big Cedar and its entities to be a part of this. So, again, is that...
Anyway, we're just happy to continue the sections on
that. Okay. We just want to make sure there's no concerns. Yes, sir.
I just want to do a follow-up on what I mentioned a while ago about the board of directors that they had listed. If I'm not mistaken, every one of them are upper management of Big Cedar, and I mentioned something about somebody from the area. As I was thinking about it, somebody that would be even better to be on that board, and the commission could establish that if they were to approve it, amendment to that. Mr. Huff, right there, would be a great addition to the board because he knows all the ins and outs and rules and things like that dealing with the road. He would be a great member of that board. I didn't speak to him about this beforehand.
The look on his face gave that away.
He may object ethically, but I think that would be a great gesture on Big Cedar's part, if they would include somebody that is not a member of upper management of Big Cedar and have somebody from his owner of the road and bridge would be a great addition to that. And you as commissioners, if you were approved that, you could approve it, make an amendment to any part of it that you wanted to.
So I think you stepped out while we had a little bit of discussion about that. They make the recommendation, if we don't, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, if there's somebody on there that we don't want or if we want to change something, we can send it back to them. I don't know that we can just change it on our own.
Okay.
Is that accurate?
I was just making a suggestion.
Okay. No, and I appreciate that.
And to Big Cedar itself, that would be a big gesture on their
right.
part. Getting it approved if they included somebody that knows what's going on with the highways and stuff.
No. Okay.
Thank you.
I think Mr. Wade wanted to address that.
I just want to clarify that I think, and Travis can correct me if I'm wrong, but a director has to either be an owner of property within the district or own a business within the district that would be providing the sales tax. So I don't think he would qualify. So there are qualifications for serving.
in the board, on the board.
So hold on.
So if there's a limitation on who could serve. So